Thank you guys so much for coming to share, for being here with us today. John's probably spent more time in Smith Valley than I have over the course of the years, but what a blessing it is just to hear how God moves and how God works among his people. And his people are everywhere, brother. That's right. That's good. And it is glorious to hear God's great work, that he's still saving people, that he still loves people, and that the gospel is still moving forward. A lot of times we can get closed in because of our lives and because of our community, and we're just here focused on what's going on here, and God's doing all this work all over the place. And you know, I mean, you heard John say the people are hungry for the Word of God, for the truth. We wish that hunger was in America, but it's not. It's not right now. And so I'm thank you for being obedient to listen to the call of God and to go over there and do that. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 12. I'm not going to speak for very long. I wanted to give them time to share what God was doing. And if you're not aware, our church did help sponsor a well over there in India. And I wanted you to be able to hear the report of that. But I do want to, we don't do this very often, maybe once every 2 months that we celebrate communion together. And I do want to speak to that. I want to speak to some observations. I want to make some observations about Passover and about why we do what we do, because I think it's important to keep it in front of us. Also, I think it's also, you know, you get new people coming to the church or students that are growing up into the kingdom and that sort of thing. And so you need to know what's going on here, and it needs to be explained, and it needs to be explained from the scriptures. And so one of the two ordinances that we celebrate largely in Christian churches today that stands as a sign and a symbol to point to something extremely important in the life of God's people. And they're called sacraments, and the Catholic Church has kind of hijacked that word a little bit to make it mean something that it doesn't mean. But these sacraments of the New Testament point to the grace of our redemption. And so they're very important to us as redeemed Christ followers. I liked what you said there. Christ is looking for followers. One is baptism. The other is the Lord's Supper. Now, they do not convey the grace of our salvation to us. That's important for us to understand. They do not transmit, they do not impart the grace of Christ to us. They don't make us come into any more favor with God. God can't love you anymore. He already gave his only son for you. And so it's important that we understand that, because there are false teachings that say that these transmit the grace of your redemption. And they don't. They don't. They represent, they point to, they demonstrate, but they do not save us. The doctrine of transubstantiation teaches that the elements that are used in the Eucharist actually change into the physical body and blood of Christ, so they're able then to convey the grace of Christ to us. And that's just not true. It's not in the Scriptures. It's not supported. I don't want to get too much into the weeds with that this morning, but I do want to talk a few moments about the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to participate in this ordinance together. We call it the Lord's Supper, but this time of celebration has been called by many names throughout church history. Some call it the Eucharist, which is the Greek word, the root word for thanksgiving, so you're giving thanks when you participate in this. Some have called it communion, an intimate word of fellowship with the Lord. Paul calls it the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians. And the early church called it agape feast, the love feast. And that was to celebrate God's love for us and the love that God has given to us to be able to share with one another. But remember when it all started. It was one night that Jesus said to his disciples, go into the city and find a room where we can celebrate the Passover together. Jesus actually said, I have longed to share in this moment with you. I have looked forward to this opportunity. When we went to Israel, I learned something I didn't know, that baptism actually has ties to the ancient Hebrew culture. They have mikvahs, what they call mikvahs, baptismal pools, where, and they're located usually close to the synagogues, where you go down one set of steps, you're baptized, you come up the other set of steps before you go into the synagogue to demonstrate your cleanliness to be able to go before God. And that demonstrates something to the human heart, doesn't it? That even the human heart, even those who rejected Jesus as Messiah, they knew that they couldn't come into God's presence just haphazardly. That they had to be cleansed, that they had to go through something, they had to go through that. And so it was tied to that. And even still today in Orthodox Judaism, they still practice this. But the other ordinance that we celebrate also, as most of you know, has a connection to the Israelites as well. When Jesus established what we call the Lord's Supper, he tied it to the covenant of the Old Testament to the new covenant that would be instituted when he died on the cross. And so I want us to look at the original Passover this morning, and just let me give you a couple of observations. I didn't do a listening guide, but I just want to look at this passage together. Exodus chapter 12, good for us to revisit this Passover passage. The Bible says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, I bet every computer crashed in Israel when that happened. That we're going to reset the calendar, right? You remember the year 2000, Y2K, you remember all that hoopla? Every computer crashed, right? No, he said, this is going to be the first month from now on. Verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses where they eat. And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. This is the foundation that Jesus uses to establish another ordinance. He builds upon this ordinance that was established in ancient Hebrew culture, and he says, I'm pointing you to something else. I'm bringing you to a new understanding of this time of the year that we call the Passover. So when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper on this night during the Passover, it points to him being this Lamb of God that suffers the righteous judgment of God for my sin and your sin. First of all, notice the specifics here. I've often said, if people are to be accepted by God, they must come God's way. Notice all the specifics and the unique details of how and what they do. It's on a certain day. It's on a certain month. They're to kill the lamb on a certain day, even at a certain time, at twilight. The lamb is a male. God does that, right? He divides us into males and females, right? The lamb is a male without blemish. They're directed to put blood on the doorpost in a specific way. They're directed to do what to do with the leftovers, what to wear even while they're eating, how it is to be cooked. All these details, God says, this is going to be a sign for you. This is your ordinance. This is the provision that I have for you, and you have to do it on my time, in my way, according to my directions, or I will not pass over you. I will bring judgment on your families as well as the families of Egypt. If they don't do it the way that God says to do it, they will experience the judgment. This is what gets Christians called intolerant. It is because we believe in order to be accepted by God, you have to come using the provision that He has made. You don't get to decide. You don't get to make it up. You don't get to make it up as you go. You don't get to pick whatever road you think it might be. You know, Oprah's theological theory is all roads lead to the same God. That's not true. There is an acceptable way, and there's only one acceptable way to be in covenant with Holy God, and that is through His Lamb, through His plan. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way to the Father except through Him. He said that. And every time we participate in this celebration, we exalt that one way. We proclaim this is the only way that you can be made right with God. You can't do enough good things. You can't write enough good big checks. There's no other way. You can be sincerely devoted, whatever religion you want to, whatever transgender ideas you want to, whatever. You can be devoted to any of that. And you can be as sincere as you want to be, but you will be sincerely wrong. There is only one way. And every time, church, we do this, that's what we are proclaiming. That we believe there is only one way. I've talked to people who claim to be Christians that say, you know, I came through Christ, but he might come this way, or he might come this way, or she might go that way. My goodness, you don't even trust what Jesus said. How can you be a Christian, a Christ follower? How can you be a Christ follower and not believe there's only one way? And we proclaim that way. His death on the cross is the only provision that God has given us to be saved. That's why we give Him thanks during the Eucharist, because His blood applied to our life allows God to pass over me and my sin, to be covered with that blood through repentance and faith. Anyone can be saved if they come to Christ, but no one can be saved if they reject Christ. And that's what we celebrate this morning as we participate in this ordinance. And what is the consequence for not coming to God on God's terms? Look at verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove the leaven from your houses. Whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be, look at this phrase, cut off from Israel. Skip down to verse 19. 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native of the land. If you don't come to God,
God's way, he says, I'm going to cut you off. You're going to be out of the covenant. You're going to be out from under the protection and the provision of God. You're going to be exempt from his provision for your judgment. And would you notice something else in the passage? The lamb becomes not just a lamb. Look at this. That's what it says in verse 3. On the 10th of this month, every man shall take a lamb. A lamb. Any lamb that is a male without blemish. And then in verse 4, at the end, it is called the lamb. The article changes. And then in verse 5, it is called your lamb. The lamb is no longer just a lamb and not just the lamb, but the lamb became precious and loved by the family. It would be kept for, it would be cared for, it would be cherished for 4 days, and then the precious lamb that would sleep with the children at night, that would be taken care of by the family, the precious lamb would be slain. As we come together to participate in the Lord's Supper today, let me ask you a question. How precious is the lamb to you in your life? Has he become loved and cherished and dear to you? Or is he just your life enhancer? Is he just your fire insurance? You see, as we take these elements and we think about what salvation cost Jesus Christ, this should be one of the sobering and intimate moments of thanksgiving that we can have with the Lord. That's why, and this is what this church believes and preaches and teaches, that a person who has never given their life to Christ should never participate in taking these elements until they answer the call to surrender their life to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that if you do that, you invite judgment into your life. But secondly, you have no clue how precious the Lamb is. You have no clue what had to happen in order for you to have life. This isn't a time for joking and such. This is a special time because we realize, and the Bible says that we proclaim the Lord's death until we do this. Look at verse 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. This event is a priority. Everything else is to stop. No work, no wandering of the mind, no thinking about I got to get this done, I got to do this and go here and do that. Just an opportunity to pause and thank the Lord for his provision. Jesus must have known that we needed reminders because he put this in the scriptures. We need this time to celebrate, to thank the Lord for the precious Lamb of God that poured out his life so that I might live. A sacred time, a quiet time, a time of rejoicing together with those of like faith, praising God for his provision. And let me give you some really great news this morning. If you read the rest of the story here in Exodus chapter 12, you will find that God even makes provisions for the stranger to participate. Go to verse 43, let me show you. He makes a distinction here between two different kinds of people in the land of Israel. And mainly this is describing when they're to come into the promised land, that they're still supposed to keep this Passover. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 43 and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. He says, no foreigner shall eat of it.
And then skip down to verse 48 and look at what he says here. When a stranger dwells with you and he wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Even the stranger can participate. Why does he distinguish between the foreigner and the stranger? What's the difference? The difference is the foreigner is still worshiping a foreign god. The stranger has submitted to the God of Israel, the covenant God of Israel. And that's the difference. But even a stranger can participate if he comes to God in the prescribed manner. He can't just be in the land. He can't do that. He has to come to God in the prescribed manner. His terms. If you'll repent of your sin and trust the Lord God, then you can be saved. You can be passed over when it comes to the judgment of God. That is good news. It's great news. Amen. Amen. But if you reject it, if you remain a foreigner, holding on to the God of self, to the God of sin, holding on to false gods, if you will not repent, this ceremony is not for you. And God makes that clear in His Word. Nothing changed about the Passover the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, except one thing. No more lambs have to die, because the Lamb gave His life for you. Hallelujah. Let me close by reading a passage of Scripture from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. This is one of my favorite. I couldn't figure out where I wanted to speak from this morning. I almost did this one. One of my favorite passages of Scripture regarding the Lamb of God that was slain for the sin of the world. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 1, the law, this is what Jesus was doing. He pointed them back to the law, and He's showing them, hey, it's just a shadow. It's just a representation. All those years, all those lambs had to be killed, all those lambs slain. And even when He dies, they're still slaying lambs as He dies on the cross. This is the week of the Passover. The blood is running deep in Israel. He says the law, having a shadow of the good things to come. Not the very image of the things, which can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Skip down to verse 14. Or verse 12. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's what this table represents. Can you imagine the intimacy on that night? When Jesus told him, you go find us an upper room, we're going to celebrate the Passover together. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been longing to share this time with you, because your eyes are about to be opened to something you've never seen before. Today is the day of salvation. There is no other way to come to God except through the Lamb. There's no other way to have your sins paid for and passed over except through the Lamb's blood. And once it's done, it's done. If you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sin, you never trusted by faith in the Lamb of God, you've never surrendered your life to Him, today is the day of salvation. And as we celebrate this unique, special time together, the celebration of redemption as a church family, as a church body, we celebrate the Lamb who was slain. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I cannot imagine what that upper room must have felt like, looked like, smelt like that evening. The weight of what of the cross that is coming. But also the weight of this new covenant that our Lord gets to share with His disciples. And that every time from that point forward, when the believers would gather, when the followers would gather for these love feasts, for the Eucharist, every single time we get to go back to that moment. And we get to think about what our salvation cost. What it cost for you to give us grace. Lord, we know just like the Egyptians, just like the foreigners, our sin deserves your righteous judgment. But we are so thankful for the provision of salvation. Our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, as we celebrate this time, that it would just bring a freshness to our hearts this morning that would just cause us to, just in love and thanksgiving, let our hearts and our emotions overflow towards you. Thank you for these that have come this way this morning, God. We pray as we celebrate this time together that you would be honored in this place. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that does not know you, today would be the day of salvation for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.